Hello, everybody. This is Brian Rose, and I'm here today with Matt West.
Hi, everybody.
And Adam Abu Nassar.
Yo, 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 Team Skull.
And we are... This is Connectivity. I forget what episode we are. I forgot to check before recorded, so somebody will correct us soon enough, or correct me, I guess. We are all getting off Pokemon Sun and Moon. We aren't going to talk about that today. I think we're going to talk about that in a future episode, maybe. We need to get organized about what we're going to talk about. But in future episodes, at least. But we are going to talk today about Dragon Quest, just about the series in general, our favorite memories, a bit of history behind the series, and just where it's going to go from here, with Dragon Quest XI coming maybe next year. Probably not, but we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, but, you know, Square Enix, remember.
Yeah.
So, Dragon Quest, I've always enjoyed Dragon Quest. I haven't played, I wasn't like a big fan of it as a kid because, I mean, I think 7 came out when I was a kid and that was about it. Because the first, it's very weird how Dragon Quest came out here in North America. It's kind of like Final Fantasy. In that the first 4 came out for the NES in the late 80s, early 90s. And then they just completely skipped over the Super Nintendo games. And then they came out with 7 in 2001 and 8 in 2000-something.
2005. Yeah.
And we have gotten all the games out except for 10, which I don't think it's going to come out here. I very much doubt it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, 10 was the MMO, right?
Yeah.
Yes, 10 is the MMO.
Which, by the way, it is coming to Switch in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
It is.
Yep.
It is. So that's a thing. I've never had interest in Dragon Quest X. I just don't get into MMOs, but, the other games I've always gotten into, the first one I played extensively was 9 when it came out, on the DS. And what I like about the series in general is just, I really enjoy the old school feeling of it. And it's a feeling that's always been there in each and every game with even going back to the first Dragon Quest. It's very colorful. I love the artwork by Akira Toriyama, who's also done artwork for Chrono Trigger, which I'm sure a lot of people know. And also Dragon Ball Z, which even more people should know. And I've always enjoyed the artwork. I've always enjoyed the enemies. The translations that have come out for 4, 5, 6, and so on, but they're really top-notch and well done. Especially the latest one that I played and reviewed here on NWR was Dragon Quest VII, which I'm very disappointed in how sales went. I wish more people would have played it. And I think there's Black Friday deals out now, but I think this is going to be posted before Black or after Black Friday, so that's probably irrelevant. But you still should check it out. It's a fantastic game. It's very long, but it's still fantastic. I've always just enjoyed the old school feel of it, the simplicity of it, which is really I appreciate it a lot in an era where you see these RPGs coming out and they're very like. Intricate in their gameplay and intricate in stories and, I keep thinking of like Final Fantasy XV, which is, it's very, I don't know what the right word to put it, but it's very, it kind of turns me off in just how many things you can do. I mean, sometimes giving people like too much to do is kind of like over exertion for me. So, it's great to have all these options and all these gameplay mechanics to work around with, and it's great to travel around all these worlds and things, but, in Dragon Quest, it's all very simple and very structured and very less, non-linear, I guess. No, it's more linear, and I kind of like linear a bit more than non-linear, because at least I have an idea of where to go. So yeah, that's what I've always enjoyed about Dragon Quest, is just, it's very simple, easy to get into, the mechanics are very easy to get into, and it's just always been fun for me to play. It's just always super, super fun. Matt, how many Dragon Quest games have you played? What's your knowledge of Dragon Quest?
Well, I got into Dragon Quest in probably the most non-traditional way. Back in the PlayStation 2 era, I had never played a Dragon Quest game before. And this game called Final Fantasy XII that I was very hyped for was getting ready to come out. It was about 2005, and they released a demo of Final Fantasy XII. But the only way that you could get this demo was by buying Dragon Quest VIII. And I so badly wanted to play this demo that I bought Dragon Quest VIII. And I actually bought it with the intention of playing this demo and then selling it back to the store or whatever, to GameStop or whatever. And I just decided on a whim, because I think it was because of the Akira Toriyama art style. I was a big fan of Dragon Ball Z, big fan of Chrono Trigger. So I was like, you know what, he's involved. The main character kind of looks a little bit like Gohan with a bandana.
Yeah, it does.
I'll give it a shot. Worst thing that can happen is I don't like it, and I just take it back to the store anyway. I ended up loving Dragon Quest VIII. It's probably, I would say, in my top 10 JRPGs of all time. That if you like JRPGs, you have to play Dragon Quest VIII. I don't know what the port is going to be like on 3DS. It doesn't look as good as the PS2 version. So if you can, I kind of hate saying this on like a Nintendo podcast, but if you can play it in its original version, I would recommend doing that. If there's no other way for you to play it, though, get the 3DS version and give it a shot. I think they've added some new playable characters and some new dungeons and things like that.
Yeah, I think there's a few new dungeons in the 3DS port.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is coming out on January 21st, I believe.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Dragon Quest VIII is coming out to the 3DS. I have heard that the port suffers from frame rate issues and things like that, so I guess you should be a bit apprehensive about the 3DS version. I don't know for sure if it's like unplayable or what, but it's also on iOS, and in fact every Dragon Quest game except 9 is on the iPad or Android devices.
Yeah, that's right.
You should check all those out.
Wait, did 10 come to cell phones but not to America?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it came out on Wii, I think Wii U, and 3DS, and a bunch of other places, but I don't think phones.
Okay.
Isn't it coming to PS4 in Japan as well as Switch?
I don't know about PS4.
I know Dragon Quest XI is coming to PS4, 3DS, and Switch.
Yeah.
I don't know if 11's confirmed for Switch. I think they said that they wanted to do it, but they haven't confirmed that yet.
I thought that they did. I thought there was an interview with Hori where he talked about they're making 3 versions.
Who really cares? It's not coming to the West.
I think it is.
I think that at least the PlayStation 4 version will. We may not get the handheld version, like the 3DS version, but I think at least the PlayStation 4 version will.
Yeah, I think it's coming out in some form out here.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about it later, but there's a reason why we always have to question, like, is this going to come out in the West? Because Dragon Quest is not really that popular here in the US, but it's kind of amazing too, because it is super popular in Japan. Like, I've literally read about how people would skip school, and it's kind of like a national holiday whenever Dragon Quest game comes out in Japan. It's very crazy in how well it sells outside of the U.S. I don't know how it is in Europe, but obviously it's super popular in Japan. I've heard stories about 3 being like one of the best selling games in a long time in Japan. But yeah, it's super popular over there, so there's always Dragon Quest games coming out. There's a bunch of spin-off games. It's still super popular so many years later, so there's always going to be Dragon Quest games coming out, but we don't know how it is in the U.S. Adam, you were talking before the show started, and you aren't like really into Dragon Quest, but you did play plenty of 9. So what did you like about Dragon Quest 9?
Well, my Dragon Quest story starts very similarly to Matt's, where I bought Dragon Quest 8 so that I could play the Final Fantasy 12 demo, but then I hated the Final Fantasy 12 demo. I was like, what is this? This is not Final Fantasy. This is not Final Fantasy Tactics. They're trying to blend them, and it's stupid, and I hate it. And it's got really angry, so I didn't even give Dragon Quest VIII a chance. So I did not get into the series there. But then, like, 9, like, sold crazy well in Japan. It was, like, best-selling thing ever. And it came out here, and I was like, well, I guess I'll try it, like, I think, like, I was coming down off of a Pokemon game, and I was like, what am I going to play next? So I got Dragon Quest IX, and it had, like, Street Pass, but for the DS. And apparently it was really popular in Japan, and it worked really well, and, like, you got all these secret dungeons and maps and stuff, but I didn't get any of those. I think I got, like, one or two here in the U.S., but I still played, like, 100 hours of that game, and I couldn't even guess at what the story was. There was a train in the sky, and maybe you were an angel? Or
yeah, I think you were like
pears or apples.
Stupid. I think you were like a guardian angel sent down to from the tree, the big tree that's I think in most of the games. I can't pronounce the name. It starts with a Y. It's like
the Yggdrasil tree. Anyways, it was the story in that game was so stupid that even the game didn't care. The game was like, all right, here's like 5 minutes of story, and we will never bother you again. And you just walk around, and you just play very traditional RPG, and it was like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys, if your parents still have, like, the house that you grew up in, but that's what a Dragon Quest, that's what that game felt like. It felt like going to the house I grew up in, and, like, sitting in a little blanket in, like, my childhood bedroom, which I don't have anymore. I haven't been in there for a long time. But that's what it feels like, you know, like coming home. And
it
was just comfortable.
It's video game comfort food, I think.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest. Yeah. It's very familiar. It doesn't see a lot of changes throughout the years. It's just something that I think if you're a fan, it's something that you know you can always go to and get this particular type of experience that you know you will love.
Yeah. I mean, that was the same feeling I had when I was playing 9, because before that, I'd never really played any Dragon Quest game. Like I didn't have a PS2, so I never got the Final Fantasy XII demo disc.
Oh, I'll send it to you. It's terrible.
I was kind of thinking of trying the remake that they're putting out next year.
Yeah, but, Zodiac.
Age of Zodiac or something like that.
Yeah.
The first one I played was 9. And, a few hours in, I kept feeling like this plays exactly like a Super Nintendo game. And, Super Nintendo is my childhood. So naturally, I had those same kind of feelings. Like, this feels like very comfortable. It feels very safe. And it feels like a game I would play when I was like 12. Which is a pretty nice feeling to have. It's a very lighthearted and comforting game, and those are always the type of games that I really like. And plus the story, I do forget most of the 9 story actually. But you know, the thing with Dragon Quest games is that there is a story, and the translation's always really well done. but it's not, like, entirely vital to your enjoyment of the game.
Now, I will say this. The story in 8 is probably much more integral of a part of the game than in any other Dragon Quest.
Now, okay, so if 8 is supposed to be really good and has a great story, then why did they go to the bare bones story in 9? Like, why do you think they did that?
9 was... So what they usually do with Dragon Quest games is they put it on the most popular system, the system that has sold the most for that generation. So in 8, it was the PS2. In 9's era, it was the DS. And so the DS isn't really a system that you go to when you think of grand sweeping adventure and epic storytelling. It's a system that you think of, oh, I can take this on the go, and I can play with friends via the limited Wi-Fi. And so there was much more of a focus on the multiplayer aspect of Dragon Quest IX and the going back to the simplicity of the older Dragon Quest games. So I think that's the biggest reason why there's such a drastic change between 8 and 9. Is just because of the hardware that they're on.
Now, I actually got Dragon Quest VIII recently for free on Android, but I haven't played it yet because, like, I don't know if it's different at all.
I've heard very bad things. I've heard very bad things about the mobile version of Dragon Quest VIII.
So yeah, that seems like a very graphics heavy game, and I don't know how that works on phones.
Well, I know my phone is more powerful than a PS2. It's a very expensive phone.
I think it's probably more in things like the controls and just the way that the menus are handled.
It's true.
I just don't think it's mobile friendly in terms of control.
Okay.
I mean, I played the first Dragon Quest game on mobile, and it's so simple and simplistic. I mean, it's pretty easy to navigate. But I played 4 on mobile before I ended up getting it on the DS, and that was a lot harder.
Yeah.
It's simple enough that you can play the game without any problems, but it's still, like, kind of, it doesn't feel right. It's just something that seems off-putting about playing an RPG on a touchscreen. It's still pretty weird. Dragon Quest games have always been on the most popular systems.
Yeah.
9 was on the DS, which, is one of the best-selling systems in a long time. 10, I think, came out on the Wii first.
Yes.
And I think was ported over to a bunch of other systems.
Yeah, it was ported to Wii U and 3DS. Weirdly, 3DS got it.
Yeah, the 3DS is weird. They render it on their servers and then just stream the video, kind of like the PlayStation Now does. Mm-hmm. Which is just so weird.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a miserable experience.
Probably does. Probably is.
Yeah.
Probably isn't fun to play. But I guess that's an option if you're that into Dragon Quest X.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about Japan loves their handhelds. Yeah. So.
That is true.
Yeah, it came out at the end of the Wii, so it probably wasn't doing as well as they wanted. So they were like, can we put this on the 3DS? And someone apparently did, and they put it on 3DS.
I mean, it's going to be on Switch too, so.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, but the Switch is hopefully more powerful than a 3DS.
Yeah, it's just weird to me that this... I mean, how old is this game? I think it came out in Japan 2011? Maybe?
Yeah, 2010 or 11.
So, I guess it's not any older than Skyrim, and that's coming to Switch, so why not?
Yeah. I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but it's probably the worst kept secret at this point.
Yeah,
it's terrible. I hope it's not. I hope that secretly, the Switch is gonna, premiere with Elder Scrolls 6 or something. They're like, that was just a tech demo. Like, we're actually making a new game.
Elder Scrolls 6 is a Switch exclusive.
That would be awesome.
Imagine that.
Well, it's like NVIDIA, I'm sure, is like doing some sort of deals with people. Like, we're selling, the Switch now, so we're gonna bundle in your crappy Batman game. That barely works.
I just can't wait for the exclusive Switch game, like with Bayonetta 2, like where the internet just rages over the fact that, oh, I have to buy a Switch now.
Oh, you should have. Bayonetta 3 is... Bayonetta 3 is so totally coming out for the Switch. Like, 100%. Because Nintendo doesn't give up.
Dragon Quest 11 might be coming to Switch. We don't know if it's confirmed or not. I should probably double check,
but there's rumors.
Like,
I feel like I remember reading an interview, I think it was the same one where they talked about Dragon Quest X coming to Switch, where Hori, who is the lead guy on the Dragon Quest games, Yuji Hori, I think is his full name, I believe he talked about the Switch version and just talked about, oh yeah, we're making three versions. So there's the PS4 version, there's the 3DS version, and then the Switch version, which I'm assuming is probably just going to be a port of the PS4 version.
Well, remember probably that the 3DS is two versions. There's like a super low-res version of the PS4 one, and then there's like a really pretty, like, Super Nintendo version of
like,
it.
Yeah, like a sprite version.
Yeah. So
I think that's so cool. I think that's
a cool concept.
That would be cool to play on the Switch.
Yeah.
To be able to switch over into like Super Nintendo mode.
Yeah, it could totally be the Switch could just be getting the 3DS version too. We can't rule that out either.
That's possible.
Since it's both a handheld and a home console.
So. Yeah.
I don't really care. It's the same story in both games. And I mean, Dragon Quest gameplay is so simple that, I mean, it's gonna look better on PS4, but I mean, it's probably gonna play just about the same on both systems. So.
Well, who knows? I mean, it might look the same on the Switch. Because Dragon Quest, it's not like Final Fantasy, where Final Fantasy tries to push the hardware. You know, it just is what it is.
Sure. No, I was saying the difference between the 3DS and PS4 version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If the Switch version is a port of the PS4 version rather than the 3DS version, which I feel like it should be, then yeah, the Switch version will definitely look much better than the 3DS version.
Either way, I want the sprite mode on Switch because that I don't know. It just sounds so neat.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw that, I thought, I don't know, that's just really cool that they even bothered to do it at all.
Well, it just proves that they know what they're doing. They know that it's older fans that appreciate Dragon Quest. Like, it's more old-school style. Like Brian was saying, it feels like a Super Nintendo game, so why not add the option to make it look like a Super Nintendo game?
Now, since we're all playing Pokemon Sun and Moon right now, I'm just going to go off topic a little bit and say that's something that I would have loved to see Pokemon Sun and Moon do.
Yeah.
Like, if it had, like, the old Game Boy sprites, like, on, you could pick which version to play, and one of the versions was just, you can play Pokemon Sun and Moon, but it's like a D-make. I love D-makes. The idea of D-makes.
Yeah.
I wish more people would do D-makes than remakes.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a cool idea. I don't know how it would work exactly. Like, I'm still, like, wondering how exactly it's going to work on Dragon Quest XI, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of switching between 3D and 2D and seeing how those can be interconnected and things like that. Yeah. So I would look forward to playing something like that if they do it with Pokemon or maybe even other games like Zelda or Mario.
Yeah.
Well, we did that in a Mario game. In a Paper Mario game.
Oh, right.
In a Super Paper Mario game. And everyone forgets how awesome that game was. Because you're just playing a Mario platformer, and then you hit a button, and you're like, whoa, in a 3D Mario world. It's actually really cool.
Now, the thing with Dragon Quest XI on 3DS is, though, I think what they've said is that the game will run both, like on the top screen it'll be the 3D, and on the bottom screen it'll be the sprite base, but there's a point in the game, I think, like maybe after the first chapter or something, where from that point on you have to choose which version you play.
Hmm.
So it will run both, I think, up to a certain point. and then it'll prompt you and say, hey, do you want to continue the sprite-based, or do you want to do the 3D version? Which is interesting. But the fact, I mean, I don't know, just the fact that they even bothered to include the sprite-based version at all is just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty cool. What should we go to next?
Let's talk about spin-offs.
Okay, sure.
So I'm really surprised that Builders came out here. I did not see that coming.
Oh, it's so good. I love Builders.
I expected that because, you know, Minecraft is super popular here, so I'm not really surprised that, like, a world-building kind of game in the same vein as Minecraft is coming out.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know how it did in sales, but, yeah, I mean, I have the demo downloaded on PS4. I haven't really gotten into it because, you know, those kind of games, like, don't interest me as much.
Yeah, but, they're definitely, like, time sinks.
I played like the first 10 minutes and it's perfectly fine. It feels like a Dragon Quest themed game. I mean, I think the story is based on, your choice in, Dragon Quest 1, where it's like the big plot twist is like the bad guy will tell you, like, if you join me, you'll get like half of the world or something like that.
Right. And
I think the story is in, Builders is like, if you choose the bad ending, I think that's where you go.
Yeah.
From there, it's like the bad ending world.
Yes.
Dragon Quest Builders.
Oh, really? So you're with the bad guy and you took over half the world?
No.
I think that the story is based on if you choose... I think the character is different.
So I've played and finished Builders
on
PS4. So the story in the original Dragon Quest game is that, like what Brian was saying, you get to the end and there's the Demon Lord, and he gives you a choice. He says, if you join me rather than fight against me, then I'll let you rule over half of this with me, and we'll rule together and all that stuff. Darth Vader style and Empire Strikes Back type of thing.
Spoilers.
Hey, it's okay. Hey, you know what? It's been out for, what, 30 years now?
Yeah. It's like twice as old as I am. 30 years? Yeah. That movie's like 45 years old.
No, I'm talking about Dragon Quest.
Oh, I was talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars is even older. So, I mean, yeah, if you haven't beat the original Dragon Quest or seen Empire Strikes Back at this point in time, you deserve to be spoiled. So, that's my philosophy on that. But no, he gives you this choice. He says, you can join me or fight against me. And if you pick join him, then the game ends like right there. And you've joined him and you've made a terrible decision, but I mean, that's the end. If you fight him, you know, you save the world and all that. Well, Builders kind of goes off of what if the player made the choice to join him rather than save him. And so it's like this world that has like been destroyed by the Demon Lord's rule, and you play this character called the Builder, who is the only person in the world that knows how to build things. And like everybody else has lost their ability to build. So like everybody kind of like is I guess they're just like nomads and they just kind of wander the land and stuff, and you go and you like build towns for them to live in and like weapons for them to fight with and things like that. That part's kind of unclear. Cause like you're basically the only one that ever actually really builds anything, but I think they learn through watching you maybe. I don't know. It's just, but there's like 5 chapters in the game and each chapter kind of focuses on a different type of building. Like in one chapter it's just kind of like the basics, and then like the next chapter it's like building like healing items that can cure different types of sickness for these people, and you like start a hospital. Another one's about like combat, where you're building different types of weapons and armories and stuff. It's just a really fun little game, and I'm the kind of person, like, I don't like Minecraft. It just never clicked with me. But the structure that the story provides in Builders, and like the very clear progression and the goals that they set for you and the combat and stuff, just drew me in the demo. a lot more than Minecraft ever did. So I decided I'll give the full game a shot, and I did. I'm glad that I did. It's a different type of game, but first of all, if you like Minecraft, you'll probably like this. I think it's a little more limited than Minecraft. I don't think you can be as extravagant in what you build as you can in Minecraft. But if you like Dragon Quest or you like Minecraft, you'll probably like this game. And I like Dragon Quest, so I ended up liking it. I spent a lot more time than I thought I would, freeform building things, so.
That is out, for, I think, PS4 and Vita.
Yeah.
There's also a bunch of other ones in spin-offs in the series. There's Dragon Quest Monsters, which is kind of like a Pokemon collecting kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Dragon Quest,
Rocket Slime.
Rocket Slime, which is the best series in the whole world. I will tell you about Rocket Slime.
Talk about that one, Adam, because I don't know much about it. Just that there's slimes in it.
Alright, and Rocket Slime, you are Rocket Slime. Yeah. And I think we got the sequel, and we never got the first one, and we never got the third one. So, like, we just got the second one. So I was confused. I found it in a bargain bin at Toys R Us, which was, like, my hobby when I was younger. I was go find the cheapest games and just play them. Like, I played a game called, like, Final Fantasy Tales, like, Chocobo Tales, and it was terrible, and I was really sick on cough medicine, but I was like, well, the storybook. But yeah, so I got Rocket Slime for really cheap. And you're Rocket Slime, and you move by either, like, bouncing around, and it's all cute, or you can stretch yourself, and then, like, let go of yourself, and, like, shoot forward, kind of like a rocket. And that's how you attack. And you attack things, and then you catch them. And when you catch them, you go and you throw them on, like, something that goes back to town. Like, I don't know, like little boats or trains or something. Like, it's been a while, but somehow you get them back to town. And you just go out and you collect those, and then you go and have giant tank battles, where you have like a giant, I don't know if it's just a tank or a cannon. It might just be a cannon. And you shoot the things you found in the levels. So you shoot the enemies and like rocks and random things at the enemies. And you try and go as fast as you can. And when you, like at certain points, like you can go outside and go into their cannons and just like beat them up. Yeah, because I think they shoot themselves into your can or something. But it's just really charming, really stupid, like, slime cannon battles where you're shooting these things. Like, I'm not doing it justice, but it's so much fun. It's really simple. There's, you try and collect all the different items, and I collected all of them except for one, and there were, like, a ton of them in the game. And it was the best, and I loved it, and I really wish that the new one would come out, but it
did not. Are they still making them? Is there one for the 3DS?
Maybe. I don't know what the third one is on. But 2 was on the DS.
Let me look it up. Because I know there's Joker, which I guess is a spinoff of another one. What's that one about? I think you were talking about it before the show, Matt.
So I have actually not played Joker, but from what I understand, Joker is a spinoff of the Monsters spinoff. So it's a spinoff of spinoff. I guess Joker was like the most popular character of the Monsters spinoff, and so it's like a series that features that character. I think there's three Joker games. The most recent of which I don't think we ever got in the US.
No.
Yeah.
That, Joker 3 came out in March of this year.
Okay.
Chances of it coming out here are very slim.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given the sales failure of Dragon Quest VII, I feel like we can safely assume we're probably never getting it.
Yeah.
So. Unfortunately, Dragon Quest VII did not sell very well.
Well, it did in Japan, but here, I don't remember specific figures, but They weren't good.
No.
I don't really know why Dragon Quest has never taken off here in the U.S.
I know why.
Why?
Because it's fantasy. So Final Fantasy took, like, around the end of the Super Nintendo and the beginning of the PlayStation, it took a super technology sci-fi route. So Final Fantasy games are still, like, kind of about magic, but a lot of the times, like, their magic comes from technology or mining the earth or there's some sort of a space fantasy to it.
It's more of a, it's less about colorful scenarios and lands and things like that. It's more about how drab and sci-fi and super tech can we get here. That's kind of like the Final Fantasy theme going on from 7 onwards.
Well, even 6. And, 6 had a lot of technology.
Yeah, even 6 to a point was more about a steampunk kind of vibe to it.
Like, if you watch it, it was very gradual. Well,
Final Fantasy IX is more fantasy heavy. It's got a little bit of steampunk in it, but
9 went back to the roots, and then they took back off to another direction in 10, and so
now,
on.
10 was kind of like it had a lot of very fantasy elements, but there was also that sci-fi bit of it too with the Machina.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of like a half and half. I don't necessarily think it's because it's a fantasy, because we do have successful, like, fantasy series. I mean, we were talking about Skyrim earlier. I mean, The Elder Scrolls is very fantasy. I mean, things like Lord of the Rings are very popular.
Yeah, but I don't think that Lord of the Rings is as big as, like, Star Wars. You know? They're both huge, but I don't think that, like, the fantasy setting sort of resonates with as big population as sci-fi does.
Sure, but what about Harry Potter?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, true. I forgot about Harry Potter.
So, I mean, Harry Potter's soul, I mean, it's the top grossing movie series of all time, right? Harry Potter is, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah.
How does Dragon Quest do in Europe? Because I wonder if Europe likes magic more than the U.S.
I don't think it does much better than it does in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a Japan thing. My theory behind it has always been that of the Japanese RPGs, Dragon Quest is by far the most Japanese of them.
Well, have you ever played a Persona game or Star Ocean?
No. That's true.
Very Japanese-ass games.
I'm not talking about in terms of the, like, story or the atmosphere. I'm talking about in terms of just the mechanics, the system, the unwillingness of the series to modernize. It's just so traditional, and it refuses, whereas Final Fantasy, I mean, you play Final Fantasy 1, and then you go and play Final Fantasy 15, it almost feels like a different series. But if you go and play Dragon Quest 1, and then you go play Dragon Quest 11, you're gonna still see quite a few similarities. In terms of the way that the battle system works, in terms of the way that the menus look, the sound effects are probably going to be the same.
They're pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean,
you play Dragon Quest 1, and you hear the same themes, you hear the same sound effects, you see the same enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, Dragon Quest is a series that very much relies heavily on tradition, and that is one of its problems. I mean, 7, even back then in the PS1 era, it was criticized for being very archaic in a lot of ways, and they did change it up in 8, and there's new stuff in 9, but it's still very much a series that is entrenched in tradition and not a whole lot of big changes.
Yeah.
And that might be a problem.
Well, I mean,
I think.
Just look at the way that you have to save in the games.
True, but going through the priest.
Yeah, you have to go into a church, you have to talk to the priest, you have to go through like 6 different dialogue boxes, and then wait for it to save, and then he asks you, you know, do you still want to continue? So you have to go through another couple dialogue boxes. And she's like, that is so super, that's Super Nintendo stuff. Like, you know, like we have more convenient ways to do that. Like most JRPGs now, I mean, you can almost save anywhere. I mean, Pokemon's been that way since the Game Boy era. You can just hit save whenever you want. But Dragon Quest still, I mean, even back as far as Dragon Quest VIII in 2005 still was not giving you that option. You still had to go back to town, talk to the priest, to go through several dialogue boxes. And it's just, it feels very old. And I think that turns a lot of Westerners off because we're so much more tuned to instant gratification. We want everything to be quick, easy, painless, not a hassle. And Japan's just not so much that way.
And some parts of Dragon Quest VII are not quick and easy. I mean, I don't think it gets a job system until like 30 hours into the game.
Yeah.
So it's...
But isn't that the big draw of that one? Is that it has a cool job system?
It does have a really cool job system.
It does have a cool job system, but it takes a long, long time to get to the job system part of the game.
Yeah, so Brian, you reviewed Dragon Quest VII for Nintendo World before. I played it. I bought it on launch day. I don't know how long it took you, but it was 25 or 30 hours in before I unlocked the job system.
That, it was about 30 hours.
Yeah. So it's just, that's just too long for most Americans to wait. You know what I mean? We are very much instant gratification. We're the nation of fast food. We want our video games to make us feel good, to make us feel like we're constantly progressing at a quick rate, and when that doesn't happen, we're very quick to put it up back on the shelf. So.
Yeah, I mean, there are problems with Dragon Quest. I mean, it is a very traditional game, and I like the tradition in some senses, but it can be a series that needs to kind of modernize, and I hope 11 does modernize some of those things for the most part. Well, I like the save system, as you said, because, you know, running all the way to a priest and going through, like, 15 dialogue boxes just to save your game isn't really that productive in 2016 games. I mean, yeah, there is a quick save system, especially for the DS games, and I think 7 has it. But, there are things you can do to quicken the pace of the game. And 7 is a game that is very slow-paced. I always found it rewarding.
Yeah.
I never felt like it was dragging my time or wasting my time, but at the same time, it's a game that takes over 100 hours to complete. And I don't know if people have time for that. I mean, I really didn't.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoyed the game. I gave it a 9 out of 10, but there are problems with it. It can be a daunting game, and that might be why some people were turned off by it.
Yeah.
And just in the series in general, maybe it's... there is that problem of it being too traditional for its own good. I think it is something like it... Each game looks exactly like the other game. There isn't really any like big graphical leaps. I guess in terms of art design and graphics, like Akira Toriyama has done the characters for like all of them.
Yeah.
And they all kind of look the same, you know?
But again, that's another thing that it's like, if they changed it, then the Dragon Quest fans in Japan would be very, very upset. Like, you don't make a Dragon Quest game without Toriyama doing the art.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
I mean, you don't want to alienate the audience that you are sure will buy the game.
Yeah, and Toriyama has a design. I mean, he has a style. And you've seen it in Chrono Trigger, Dragon Ball, his other works. You know, it's very much his style, and he's not going to deviate from it.
Yeah.
And as we've seen over the last 30 years, and the Dragon Quest series is celebrating its 30 years this year, It hasn't really changed that much. And I think, you know, when you compare it to Final Fantasy, which, I mean, did a dramatic shift in, I think, pretty much each of its games. I think they've tried, at least after, I think in the Super Nintendo era, 4 and 5 kind of looked the same. 6 took it in a direction, and we've kind of seen it evolve since.
Mm-hmm.
And Final Fantasy has always been about evolving and meeting player demands for that era. And I think that's why we kind of get what we get with Final Fantasy. I mean, there are problems with Final Fantasy series, I think, especially more recent games. But I mean, what I like about Dragon Quest is it's a simplicity, and sometimes, you know, people want more, and Dragon Quest can't provide more, especially with the way it's how each game comes out and how it's developed. And I mean, but yeah, if you do change the series and try and make it evolve into something new, I mean, Dragon Quest fans might turn off, might just go, you know what, this isn't Dragon Quest I know, and they might just leave.
Yeah, especially since it's been so long since we got a Dragon Quest game. You know, we've gotten some re-releases, and then there was an MMO that came out like 5 years ago, but Dragon Quest IX was like, wasn't that 2009 or 2010?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was 2009 in Japan and 2010 here. So
it was like, what are they going to do? Is 11 going to be an evolution? Are they going to try and make a big push for the West, or is it going to be just to please the Japanese gamers? You know, is it like cashing a check for a billion yen, or do they want to gamble and try and reach a bigger audience?
Yeah, and that's something that Final Fantasy has never been afraid to do, but Dragon Quest has.
The first Final Fantasy, they spent all their money on it, and they said, okay, it's the Final Fantasy. If it's not successful, then we go out of business. But then they stuck with that, and every single game, they spent all their money on it. So if they ever, you know, have a
flop. That's the thing. That's the difference between Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest, which are both really popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Quest, you don't really need to worry about because it's so popular and you don't really need to change much. I mean, yeah, it's a problem that doesn't do well in the West or in Europe, but I mean, that's kind of irrelevant. I think they think it's irrelevant because, you know, it does so well in Japan. It really doesn't matter in the long term or in their eyes. I don't think they think that matters all too much. But for Final Fantasy, that's their game that needs to do well all across the world, especially 15, which I think has been development hell for about 10 years, and they spent so much money on it, and they are marketing it like crazy, and this is a game that needs to do well because they've put so much time and money into it. So yeah, they need to make sure this is a game that everybody can pick up and play and want to play.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to fail with some giant game like this, because they did it with Tomb Raider, they did it with Final Fantasy 13. I just want them to put out a big stinker so they go back to small games, like Bravely Default. You know, Bravely Default 1 was fun, it was a change, but, like, who cares about Bravely Default 2, you know?
Well, that's the problem, though. In this market, if you don't perform well, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go back to making games like Bravely Default and things like that, but those aren't going to keep you afloat.
And
games like Final Fantasy are 15 are.
I'll throw out this prediction right now, guys. Final Fantasy 15 is going to be a massive sales success.
You think
massive.
So?
I think so.
Internet traffic for anything Final Fantasy 15 related is massive. I just think there's so much interest in it. People have been waiting for it for so long. There's a lot of, I mean, they've marketed the crap out of this game. Everybody's aware. I think that this one will be their biggest financial success since 7. Whether it's good, whether it's good or not, I think it will be their biggest financial success since 7. And it needs to be because they spent so much stupid money on it. So.
Yep.
I don't think so. I think they're going to come out at some investor meeting and say, like, oh, it's a financial failure. We'll only make our money back if we sell 15 million copies of this game. And it's going to be like a huge seller, but it's still going to be, like, not profitable.
I because they have to sell so many, I think that this game could be a prime candidate to come to Switch and to PC as well. Because they do have to sell a bunch of them to make all that money back. Just because it's been in development for over 10 years. So I mean, I get what you're saying in a certain sense. It could be a failure overall just because of how long it's been in development and the amount of money they had to spend there. But in terms of units sold, I think it will be their biggest success since 7 in the series.
And that is why I think it doesn't matter if Dragon Quest does well in the US, because all the pressures on Final Fantasy and, you know, bigger games doing well, mm-hmm. they don't really have to worry about Dragon Quest because it's going to do really well regardless. In Japan, I mean, yeah, you can put it out in the US, especially if people demand it. Like, I'm very sure people are going to be starting petitions and stuff once it comes out in Japan, but, you know, if I had to make a prediction, I think 11 will ultimately come out here. I think it'll probably be another Nintendo thing where they decide, you know, we want a game and we'll put in the money. Because that's how most of the games have come out recently. Square Enix isn't really interested in putting it out. It's more Nintendo.
Did Nintendo bring over 9?
Yes.
Yes, I think they published it, yeah.
Yeah, I believe they published it, and they fronted most of the marketing for it as well, too.
And they're doing 6 or 7 and 8 now, right?
Yep.
Do you know if they did the DS ones?
They did 6. I don't think they did 4 and 5, but they did 6.
I wonder if Nintendo's gonna mess with the formula. Say like, hey, we'll put up a bunch of money if we can put this on the Switch in the US, but we want to make sure we get our money back too, so let's work together to modernize it. Like, do you think that would happen?
I mean, if it was like a Switch exclusive, maybe, but I mean, the version that everybody's most aware of is the PS4 version, so I feel like, Nintendo doesn't really have that kind of sway to do that for this version. But I don't know, the fact that it's coming out for Switch at all, because Dragon Quest only ever comes out for, like, the most popular system of that generation, I don't know, I feel like that's a good show of faith for Square Enix, like, for them to come out and say, we think this will do well, so we're going to put this game on it.
Some money changing hands, you know? And Square Enix are working together, like, they're publishing Square Enix games over here. They did Bravely Default, they did all these Dragon Quest games, they have Cloud and Smash, which I still think there was a lot of stuff that we don't know about that contract that they signed together.
Sure.
That was interesting.
So, they might be working together more. Nintendo might have said, okay, we'll help you put this game on the 3DS, and we'll bring over these other games if we can have Cloud and you put this game on the Switch. Like, maybe we'll see Final Fantasy 15 on the Switch. Maybe Dragon Quest Builders will come out on the Switch. Dragon Quest XI might come out over here on the Switch. Like, I think that Nintendo is kind of grasping at straws, you know? And Square Enix is a big third party that they're friendly with.
Now that you mention this, I actually think you could be on to something in terms of Nintendo really wanting Dragon Quest XI to be on the Switch because it's so popular in Japan, and Switch is a handheld.
Yeah.
And so for Switch to be popular in Japan, it needs this big, huge Japanese franchise that, you know, everybody's going to run out and buy. And if Japan has to pick between a portable version that looks just as good as the version that can only be played on console, they're going to pick that Switch version over the PS4 version.
Well, yeah, you said that Dragon Quest always comes out on the most popular console of the generation. And if we're looking at the most popular generation, I think the PS4 is at like 20 million units or something, but the 3DS is at like 70 million. The 3DS is the most popular console of the generation.
Sure.
Even though it started first, it's almost done, it's a handheld, it sold the best.
Yeah.
Especially in Japan. So the 3DS version of Dragon Quest XI it's a really bad story if that is the best-selling game the year the Switch comes out, the 3DS version of a PS4 game.
Well, I'm just thinking for the Switch, if it's a port of the PS4 version, then you've got the best-looking version on the Switch, but it can also be taken on the go, which is a huge drawing point for
that's
Japan.
The story that Nintendo wants to push. Square Enix doesn't care. They just want to sell units. So I definitely think that Nintendo went to them and said, please, please, please put this on the Switch.
Sure. Could be. We'll probably never learn the truth of that. But
never. It'll be in the back of some Super Mario strategy guide that won't get translated for 40 years.
Like 20 years from now, Miyamoto and Hori are going to retire, and they'll hold like a joint interview where they talk about this random elevator pitch where they brought Dragon Quest XI to the Switch.
Yeah.
Or they were in a hot tub together in the Nintendo basement.
Iwata moved it over himself, like in his hospital bed. I've got a port Dragon Quest.
That was his last gift to mankind.
Yeah, and it'll never get localized.
Oh.
Well, we should finish this off by talking about the future of Dragon Quest. We kind of already have with 11. That's been announced. I think it has a 2017 release date, but I mean, this is a video game 2016, so there's always a chance of it getting delayed.
Yeah.
It probably is going to get delayed, let's be real. But what do you guys see about the series after this? Do you see this as a series that's always going to be popular in Japan? Do you think they're going to try to maybe appeal to Western gamers? Because it's becoming more clear that, I mean, there is a small core fan base of Dragon Quest fans that do want these to come out in English. And I mean, we all want to play these games, but there's been multiple attempts by Nintendo to get these games out there to a wider audience, and they've never really, it's never really taken. So, what future do you see for these games? I guess first we can talk about the U.S. scene. Because in Japan, I think as long as you release a game, it's always going to be popular. I mean, no matter what. I mean, it's very traditional. It's very familiar. It's not going to deviate much. But what do you guys see about the U.S. in terms of Dragon Quest? Do you see Nintendo still plugging these out? Do you still see them putting up the money to release them just to fill out their schedule? Because I think that's why we ended up getting 7 and 8, just to fill out more release date space, I guess, because there isn't really anything coming out on 3DS. Now the Pokemon Sun and Moon are out, there's not really much on the 3DS for the next few months, so makes sense to put out a Dragon Quest game.
Well, it has to be so cheap for Nintendo to go to them and say, like, hey, we'll do this for you after, like, years after it's come out. You know, like, Dragon Quest 7 and 8 came out a long time ago in Japan.
Yeah.
So now
it was like 2013.
I don't think, given the sales data that we have, I don't think they made that money back. So, I mean, the sales were not good for Dragon Quest 7.
No.
But they can use that, they can write that off as marketing, you know? We needed to fill the 3DS's calendar. So there's some random other games, you know, even if they don't make their money back on that, it makes the 3DS look more appealing just because it has games coming out. So it might be worth it for Nintendo to publish them, but not someone that doesn't own the hardware.
Yeah, I mean, Square Enix, I don't think, is ever going to put out Dragon Quest by themselves, because I don't think they see the value of putting it out in America, because it's never taken off.
Well, here's the thing. They're willing to try on PlayStation. Like, I mean, they put out Builders. They put out Heroes. I would almost guarantee they're going to bring out 11 on PS4 without the help of Nintendo, but when it comes to the 3DS version or the Switch version, Nintendo's going to have to publish it.
I think also with those, it's like, Minecraft is really popular here, and the Dynasty Warriors kind of gameplay games are popular here, so
yeah,
it makes sense to put those out here.
It's so crazy to me that Dynasty Warriors is popular here, but Dragon Quest is not.
Hey, we got a Zelda and a Dragon Quest one. I think there's another one I forget about. There's a lot of Dragon Quest.
One Piece one, a Gundam one, like so many.
Yeah.
But I think they're scared because I feel like the Dragon Quest fan base is aging. So that's what they're coming out with this, like the heroes and the builders, is they're trying to see who else they can get and who's interested.
Sure.
Like if Builders does really well, I bet that 11 will have like Builders built into it, like as a side thing.
I feel like Builders definitely has a future. It sold really, really well in Japan. I don't know how it's done here because it's only been out for like a month or so, but, I know it did really, really well in Japan. I think specifically the Vita version did really well in Japan. So I think Builders for certain will get a sequel or two. Heroes is already getting a sequel. I think the sequel for Heroes is out in Japan, and I believe it's been announced for America as well. So apparently Heroes 1 did well enough in America for them to want to bring the second one. And as far as 11 goes, I think it's important to remember that the PlayStation 4 is region-free, and if rumors are correct, the Switch will be too. So we will no longer have to beg necessarily to just play these games. Now, to have a localized version, we'll probably still have to beg, but if you want it, it will be there. And you can play the Japanese version. So, I feel like there's gonna come a time where, you know, if 11 is not successful in the United States, I feel like when 12 comes out, they're just gonna say, look, you can play the Japanese version, it's on there, but we're done localizing these. So.
Yeah. So, it's very much up in the air what will happen with the series, at least in the U.S. I think it's always going to be fine in Japan because it's, you know, it's really popular over there. It'll sell millions in Japan regardless of if they localize it or not.
Yeah.
Here, it's a different story. My recommendation is to pick up every Dragon Quest game that does come out, because that always ups the chances of there being a localized version of 11 here on the 3DS or Switch, and more of them, and also the spin-offs, whatever might come. I'm sure there's a few other spin-offs that are coming soon. But yeah, do we have any other thoughts on Dragon Quest as a whole? I mean, I think it's a fun series. More people should play it.
I am done with this series until they localize Rocket Slime 3.
I think you're done. Because that came out.
It was like a 3D launch game or something.
Yeah, it came out in 2011.
Yeah.
So start that petition.
My thoughts on it are, Give it a chance. If you've made it all the way through this podcast and you have not played a Dragon Quest game, I would recommend see if you can find a DS copy of 5, or try your hand at 8 when it comes to the 3DS, or if you can get a hold of the PlayStation 2 version. Those are the best two.
Not the version I have on my phone.
No, never. Don't do
play
that
one. You know, I'm going to play that one, and then I'm going to call you and complain. I'll just tweet at you. Live tweet it at you.
Okay. Oh, please live tweet your playthrough of Dragon Quest VIII on mobile. Please do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. You're going to have to do that now.
Adam, I will drop everything that I'm doing to read your live playthrough of Dragon Quest VIII on mobile.
No voice acting? Simpler menus? Oh, this is terrible.
No, there's no voice acting in Dragon Quest VIII. It's one of those. There's no voice acting. Well, now there is, but in Zelda, it's like Zelda. Like, there's no voice acting. But no, I just give it a chance. 5 and 8 are my favorite. I mean, 9 is a good one too if you have friends to play it with. Give 11 a shot if and when it comes to the West. Just don't expect something like Final Fantasy or like Kingdom Hearts or any other Square Enix games. This is a Japanese game. Just give it time. Let it develop. It may be 15 hours in before you really, finally, the world opens up for you. But once it does, these games are so good. I don't know. It's like Twilight Princess. They take a little while to get going, but once you get into the actual dungeon part of the game and the world opens up to you, it becomes so much better.
Twilight Princess is garbage, Matt. You know this.
Come on.
We've talked
Adam,
about this.
Adam, Twilight Princess HD is probably my game of the year right now. So,
are you serious? Over Star Fox? Or Pokemon Go?
I did not like either of those.
Oh, but they're both better than Twilight Princess.
That's not true.
Wow.
I mean, subjectively, for me, that is not true.
My game of the year is still Stardew Valley.
I have not played it yet. I really hope that comes out next month on Wii U. I'm so looking forward to it.
That's the rumor, but I haven't heard anything about it in like months.
Yeah, they've gone dark since E3, so. Who knows? I hope it does, because I really want to play that. I mean, Pokemon Sun and Moon are warming their way into my heart, so maybe that will overtake Twilight Princess HD. I just don't feel right giving my game of the year to an HD remake, so, of a 10-year-old game.
Of a terrible game.
But I understand why some people don't like Twilight Princess. I personally think it has the best dungeon design in any Zelda game. Like, the overworld, definitely the intro could use some refining, but as far as dungeons go, Zelda does not get better than Twilight Princess. So. And the dungeons are what I come to Zelda for, so.
I go for the mini games and for walking around the overworld. That's what I play Zelda for. And backflips.
If that's the case, then I understand why you think Twilight Princess is terrible.
Yeah, the backflips are not the same backflips as Ocarina of Time. Just putting that out there.
They are not. You're correct. So, but yeah, I don't know. Just give Dragon Quest a chance. It's a good series if you give it the time to develop. Even 8, my favorite in the series, I think it took a good 10 hours for me to really be like, oh, this is what this is. This is actually a really good game. I want to spend more time with it. Like, I would come home, I was in high school, I would come home every day after school and just not wait to be able to play more Dragon Quest VIII once I really got into it. So, and that's my favorite in the series, and it still took me quite a while to really get it. So,
that might be it. Well, I think that does it for this week. Like everybody else has said, give the series a chance. It's a really fun series once you put the time and effort into it, and you know, that actually might be another reason why it might not be as popular here, but we did bring that up about instant gratification, mm-hmm. and Dragon Quest isn't really about that. It's about plugging in the hours and enjoying a really great, fun, atmospheric game with a lot of cool stories, and I definitely recommend it. I recommend 7. I mean, it's hard to recommend which game you should start out with, because I'm not really into the mobile games on the cell phones, and playing RPGs on cell phones is tough. And the DS games are expensive. I mean, I bought 4 and 5, and they were like $50 altogether. So, I would recommend trying to find 9 really cheap and playing that, because that's the one that got me into the series. So I would recommend playing 9, or maybe hope it comes out on the Virtual Console. You never really know. And, I mean, that's my recommendation. Try it, and hopefully more will come out in the future. The series is... There will always be Dragon Quest games coming out, but we don't know if they'll come out here. So, the more people play it, the more better chances it has of coming out over here. Which, I mean, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, that'll do it for us this week. Next time, we might talk about Pokemon or the NES or one of those things. I think we need to organize over the next few weeks and see who can do what. But we will be back in about 2 weeks' time, I think. So until then, see you guys later.
Yeah, bye.